Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, I'd like to do a follow-up video today on the video which I did the other day, which was on the evolutionary dynamics of male bullying. And I focused on male bullying because of the current furore in the British press about Dominic Raab and how he has been found by an investigation to have been bullying, in some minor way it seems, members of his staff. Now, that focused on male bullying, but a number of you asked me questions about the evolutionary dynamics of female bullying. And so that's what I want to look at today. And I will pin a comment to a book which you might want to read if you want to follow this up. Now, the evolutionary background to men, of course, is that you are part of basically large, complicated male hierarchical polities. In essence, you are evolved to be part of an army, in effect. The evolutionary dynamics of females is very different. Although we've practiced monogamy in various cultures for a very long time, we are very strongly evolved to polygamy. We are very strongly evolved to a situation where females will sexually select for the highest status males, because of course if they have a high status male husband, he will have more resources, he will be more able to invest in them, he will be more able to invest in their offspring, they will be more likely to survive. And so in that sense, it is best to be one of three or four or five wives of a very rich man, a very high status man, than it is to be one wife of a relatively low status man. And so what you end up with in prehistory anyway is a very widespread polygamy. So one high status man having lots and lots of wives. Now, what that means is that you will start off as the newest, youngest, most nubile, most attractive wife, but eventually you will move down the pecking order of the harem of wives, and the husband will be investing rather less in you than he previously was. And so what this militates in favour of is the different wives working together, is the different wives helping each other out and ensuring their and their offspring's survival by allo-parenting each other's children. And it is from this that you get female friendships, and the fact that female friendships are really rather different from male friendships. Male friendships are fleeting. Male friendships are alliances that occur in certain circumstances in mutual interest, and they can be easily made and they can be easily unmade, or not so much unmade, but they'll just sort of gradually wane. And males, it's quite rare for a male of, let's say, my age, 42, to still have friends that they were friends with when they were, let's say, 16 or something like that. That's really very, very rare. With women, that is not so rare, and that is because of the nature of these female friendships. That the way, if you're allo-parenting, if you're cooperating with these women such that they are looking after your children and you are looking after their children in your mutual interest, well, there's nothing more important than your children, and so you have to be able to really, really deeply trust them. And so what this militates in favour of is the stereotypical female friendship, where it is a strong one-on-one friendship. Now, with males, that you don't get that quite so much. Often males will be in groups and whatever. But no, it is a strong one-on-one friendship. That's the first thing. The second thing is it is a relationship of complete equality. And it has to be felt to be a relationship of complete equality. Again, that's not the case among men. Men will very easily get together and develop a sort of social hierarchy, and there may be somebody that's slightly higher up the hierarchy or slightly lower up the hierarchy or of slightly higher or lower social status, although in general friends tend to be roughly equal social status. But no, they have to feel that they're very, very equal to each other, and the way they do that and the way that they create this very strong personal bond is by sharing very personal information, and in particular by sharing information about their insecurities. About their insecurities, about what they look like, about their psychological insecurities, about whatever. And so you have then this very, very close, intense one-on-one friendships, which can become so intense that, I mean, for example, when I was at school, there were these two girls, when I was a sixth former, that were so close that they were always together. They took all the same A-levels. They were always together, and they even sent joint Christmas cards. That's how close they were. They were almost like a couple. I mean, they had boyfriends and things, but they were almost like a couple. They were always together. So that's the nature of the female friendship. And it is a friendship that is based around therefore, that easily militates in favour of cliques, of groups of women who have a small number of very close one-on-one friendships. And those very close one-on-one friendships will themselves have a small number of one-on-one friendships. And they can develop into a clique where everybody is meshed together in these one-on-one friendships. Now, for men, that doesn't happen like that. But B, to the extent that a male group develops, a male social group will have no problem bringing in other people into the social group and becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. Males are evolved to want to create these large social groups in order basically to fight other social groups in the prehistoric battle for resources. But with the females, it doesn't, according to J.F. Benenson, whose book I will cite, it doesn't work like that. No, you have to have a small number of one-on-one friendships. The clique will develop into a small number of one-on-one friendships. And therefore, anything outside the clique actually could be dangerous. Because it could be someone could poach your friend. Someone could take away your friend, your friendship that you've worked on and you've put a great deal of effort into. And therefore, that's the nature of the clique, that if you're not in the clique, then you are potentially an enemy. You are an enemy to the clique. You could poach away the best male in prehistory. You could poach away the best friend in the clique or whatever. And so once the clique dynamic develops, then you are an enemy to it. And what this clique is based around is a strong sense of absolute equality, that nobody tries to be better than anybody else, that nobody tries to stand out. You're all there in prehistory competing for the attentions of the dominant male, of the best male, of the most high status male. But you're also very strongly working together, and you must be able to absolutely trust each other because, of course, you're alloparenting unconsciously. And so that means absolute equality and of course, very much harm avoidance, because women have so much to lose from being physically injured. Like, they might not be able to become pregnant, or they might lose their child that they're pregnant with or whatever. So they can't have any. There's very strong harm avoidance and equality. So then who gets bullied is the so-called queen bee. Is any female who stands out as different, who stands out as trying a bit too hard to get the dominant male, who stands out as being, as trying to seem superior to other females, who is not able to play the extremely subtle social game, essentially, of attaining a high status male, and of attaining status in general, but seeming like they're not doing so. Whereas with men, that it's much more acceptable to just go for it and be above the rest and fight and be openly try to get to the top of the hierarchy of men. In women, no, you have to kind of pretend that you're not doing that while constantly acting like you are doing that. And of course, one way that you could be really successful in persuading people that no, you're not trying to get the best man, you're not trying to poach this woman's friend, you're not trying to poach this woman's husband, is to not even think that you're doing it. And therefore, Benenson argues in her book that a lot of women will genuinely say, yeah, I'm not interested in status, I'm not interested in power, I'm not interested in getting the best man. But somehow they bag the best man and they do get status and power because all the time, while saying these things and thinking these things, they are acting in extremely subtle ways below the radar, as it were, but underneath the surface, to actually, in an evolutionary sense, attain what they want. So it is the girl that is not able to do this who is the queen bee, who is considered to try to take control, who is considered to try to dominate others, who is considered to try and boss others around, whatever it happens to be, who is considered to somehow be perhaps a bit too aggressive, a bit too violent, a bit too all this sort of thing, a bit too mannish, maybe, that is likely to be bullied. The second thing, of course, where female bullying comes in is when there really is rivalry for the top male. Then women will start to compete for the top male, and they will bully, essentially. They will denigrate their rivals. How? Well, we saw with the male bullying that males will bully with regard to implying that a man is not manly, that he's pathetic, that he's physically weak, that sort of thing, that he's stupid. With females, obviously, it's the things that men are sexually selecting for. So you imply that the woman is old. You imply that the woman is sexually promiscuous. You imply that the woman is ugly, that sort of thing. That's the way that you can buy the woman is fat, and that's the way that you go for it. That's the form of the subtle form of but the bullying can't be physical. That's the point, because that's so dangerous from a female perspective. So it will have to be very subtle, and so it'll be little ways of undermining a woman's confidence. The woman comes into the room in the clique, sort of the knowing look with each other, and the sort of flick of the hair to indicate that we're going to socially shun this person. Ostracize them, you know, little nasty remarks, passive-aggressive remarks, that kind of thing. It's very, very subtle kind of bullying, and it's therefore extremely rare that it actually becomes physically violent. And if it does, of course, this is a serious problem, because this, if a woman actually becomes physically violent, then this is sending a message to other girls that, oh my God, be careful of her. Is this the kind of person we want allo-parenting my hypothetical children, a person that could become physically violent? So it's a very subtle form of bullying. And according to people I know that are teachers, they much prefer working in boys' schools than girls' schools, because in boys' schools there's just less bullying. There's less bullying, and if there is bullying, then the boys have a fight and that's it. It's over and done with. But in girls' schools, it's this subtle, ongoing kind of low-level bullying based around cliques and things like that. And I'm told by people that teach in girls' schools that it's really not very nice. And they much prefer to teach in boys' schools. So I hope that's of interest, and goodbye!
Hello, hello, hello! The Jolly Heretic is an online public house which meets on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss the kind of based, fearless science which is increasingly expunged from our woke joke universities. If you would like to help the Jolly Heretic public house, and there are many ways you can do so, please, please, please become one of my patrons on Subscribestar. Also, if you want to, you can donate to the channel using Odyssey and Entropy, and you could also purchase Jolly Heretic merchandise, such as shirts and mugs. All of the links are in the description. Again, I'd be most violently grateful if you could assist the Jolly Heretic Public House, and I will see you all soon, and goodbye!